Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Roleplay Swan Song. I'm JP McDaniel, joined by the rest of the crew. It's time to have another week of stupidity, of just craziness, the dumbest stuff in space, and also for our weekly media review. So let's start with the reviews coming in for Batman versus Superman. Have you guys seen any of these? They just started.
They said Wonder Woman stole the show, and people are seemingly fairly impressed with it.
That's the one thing I'm actually excited for with that movie. That and like that's the only thing I have expectations for. Everything else, if it ends up being cool, great. But I don't have.
I was disappointed to hear that apparently there's no gay sex in it at all.
Oh God,
even a little.
Really?
So disappointing.
Not even an after credits.
To be fair, though, can you imagine if like at the end? Because obviously the spoilers are in the previews, it already shows it. But like in the end, Batman like clasps the back of Superman's head and looks deep into his eyes, and there's a momentary pause, and everyone's like, "No, that's not." And then they just fucking boom, and just start bowing down, and like.
But what if Superman
spandex and just starts jerking him off right there, and everyone's like, "This is what? This is not what I expected." There's like kids running out of the theater, Zack Snyder's like, "What? Challenge yourself. What's wrong with this?" Like, and everyone's like, "Oh my God."
You know, Batman's the kind of guy that doesn't have the goddamn decency to give a dude a super reach around. Like,
I can't
in that suit. Honestly,
the kryptonite gauntlets that
and the giant safe.
They're in some boardroom and they're like, "Look, guys, look, Marvel's fucking killing us. What do we do? What do we fucking do?" And Zack Snyder spins around in the chair and goes, "Listen, I know what we're gonna do, and you're not gonna like it." And they're like, "At this point, I don't fucking care. Yeah. Tell me." And he's like, I want the last 37 minutes of this movie to be a full penetration gay sex scene between Batman and Superman.
It's Zack Snyder, so it would be all like fast and then in slow motion, and it'd go fast.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd all be boiled up and like
no music. There's those effects you're talking about, but it's just for 35 minutes. It would get the world talking. I tell you that right now.
Really reinvigorate the entire DC universe, I think.
Yeah. Jeff, I think you found like the one positive, well, the 14 positive reviews right now. It's doing pretty badly on Rotten Tomatoes.
Twitter is on fire.
Yeah. It's got 41%, 34 reviews counted. There's 20 rotten, 14 fresh. I think it's going the route of like Man of Steel, which I enjoyed that movie, but it wasn't a critical success.
What did it get on Rotten Tomatoes?
Let me look. Let me see here.
Because I quite enjoyed Man of Steel.
So did I.
I just like fall asleep during certain parts and then wake up when everything's getting fucked up. And I'm like, oh, I love this movie.
It got a 56.
I liked the power armor and stuff. Like the concept, the lore of that movie was pretty cool.
Dude.
Yeah. I mean, but that movie suffers from like, I feel like one of the hardest things possible to do. And I at this point in time, it hasn't been done as far as I'm concerned. How do you make a whole movie about a character that's literally fucking indestructible? Like a Hulk movie? They're all terrible. Because every movie is just like, wow, he's really mad now. Yeah. And he's punching people from buildings and jumping up and hitting helicopters. And it's like Superman, that whole fight where they're wrecking an entire city. And I'm like,
well, that's what you do. You make a fucking really cool fight where they just wreck a city.
Well, that's what Hollywood does. But if you actually want to challenge characters who are super powerful, you have to go after the things that they care about, not them themselves.
I'll tell you what, Jeff, Civil War is going to make you change your mind.
yeah.
Because
I'm more excited for that, though. I would say that.
I'm excited for it.
$1 million that Captain America is going to die, and then they're going to use a fucking Infinity Stone to bring him back.
I guarantee that's what's going to happen.
Well, he will die, but he's going to be replaced by Bucky. That's in the lore.
You've read the Civil War comics, right?
He's like, going to come back.
Yeah, because they like the actor so much. You think
he gets assassinated at the end anyway, and then somebody else takes over, and he's gone for a while. It's just like fucking Batman all over again, right? We get Azrael or whatever for a little while, and then
the Lazarus.
But that's the weakness. The guy without superpowers gets killed. I'm backing up your point. Mm. It is a little odd to have like the fucking Hulk movie, because at what point are you like, man, I'm really worried that fucking Hulk might die here.
I know. You never are. And that's the funny thing about those movies too, is every time you have the mega powerful character, for whatever reason, it always ends up a slugfest. And that's actually the worst way to go about fighting them too. It's so funny. They're like, like in all the scenes with Batman and Superman, I'm sure there's some kind of kryptonite shit going on there. He's got like power armor on. I guess he probably has like a kryptonite stone in his butt crack. I don't know. But...
I mean, did you read the Frank Miller like Batman versus Superman thing? Yeah, yeah. He just has giant fists made out of kryptonite that he punches the shit out of Superman with. And it's actually kind of awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
There's one where he just has like some sort of sonic gun or whatever that he like blasts Superman with until it like
there's always
his molecules.
There's always some bullshit thing. Like in the Red Sun, didn't they make like an artificial like Red Sun generator or something so he lost all his powers? Like that's what happens, Jeff. Is when they have characters that are too powerful, they have to come up with stupid ways to like unpower them to like go back to like now they can actually fight because he's like Batman level. But
before JP gushes about this, but that to me, that's what makes characters like a Daredevil, like a Punisher, actually more interesting for me, is because there is peril potential at all times. Whereas with Superman, it's like, I've got this diabolical plan. You are girls in a room, but here's the trick. The room's surrounded by kryptonite and it's 17,000 feet thick of special alien steel that you actually can't get out of until you get really angry and laser eye out of it. And it's like, oh, wow, foiled again. Yeah. But it's interesting, too, in this movie, they also spoil and they show off. So I don't feel bad about this, guys. If you've actually been like avoiding the previews, then don't listen to us talk about this. But they show the monster that they face is the guy that actually breaks the back of Superman as well.
Darkseid.
Mm.
And they're not going to do that in this movie, Seed. By the way. It's not going to happen.
No, Darkseid is the DC Apocalypse analog.
Yeah, wait, who is the...
His name is like
Doomsday.
Doomsday.
Yeah,
breaks... Man, the whole Death and Return of Superman is so silly and cornball that it would actually kind of be fun to see it happen.
Isn't there also an arc where like Superman splits into two, like blue and red Superman?
Well, there's an evil Superman that happens. Right.
Well, there's Bizarro Superman, but yeah.
I think there's actually, if you read the comics, and they did this 15 years ago, Superman flies to the sun and literally becomes God, Christ, Jesus, like everything, just all in one.
Oh, he gets so strong by being next to the sun.
Well, he literally transcends everything. He becomes God, basically. Oh, okay. And that comic is just like one of the worst because it goes like three in, and they're like, you know what? There's nowhere to go from here. Let's actually back out of this because he's just. Faster than time, faster than light.
Well, that's Dr. Manhattan, right? Which is why Dr. Manhattan is an interesting character at all. It's because it's like, oh, what would it be like if you were a god? Oh, actually weird and boring and you go to Mars.
My favorite, all-time favorite thing about like 90s Superman is there's a video, Max Landis does this little video about the death and return of Superman. It's like 15 minutes. He's like drunk through most of it. And he just talks about that line of the comics. It's so funny. Because it's just so out of control. Like he's just telling the story like as it happened in the comics, but by the end of it, you're like, really? Like that actually happened in a comic?
They did that with someone did that with Civil War like last week on Reddit, and everyone was like, that sounds really stupid. I hope that's not what the movie.
Oh yeah, like it's real. People are going crazy over Spider-Man grabbing the shield. They're like, oh my god, Spider-Man!
They got to put Spider-Man in it because Spider-Man is the guy who just gets shit on the whole time. Like all of Civil War is about like everyone treating Spider-Man like garbage.
He's the punching bag.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I think I'll find him a very relatable character. So,
Steve.
By the way, if any four of you want to come to an entire theater, I have 90 seats open for Captain America Civil War and can come to San Antonio on the 5th. You're more than welcome to come.
Texas?
Yeah, in San Antonio, yeah.
On the 5th of what? When is that?
5th of May. It's that Thursday that it comes out. Then you can fly back on Friday or just hang out in San Antonio for a weekend.
Damn it. I would have done it, man. I got to go somewhere on the 6th. I actually would have done it. I'd love to hang out with you.
Well, there you go.
Celebrate your new house, by the way. Holy shit.
That's true.
You bought it?
Is anyone else a homeowner? I think it's just JP, right?
What are you talking about?
No, Wheat's a homeowner.
You're not a homeowner, Wheat.
Son.
Oh, you left. Okay.
Sorry. I mean, I know we're good friends and shit, but like, dude, yes, I still have.
I forgot you haven't sold the home yet, is what I'm saying.
That's right. I still got that. You fucking
vacation thing. All right. It counts for sure.
Yeah, it's vacation home in Nebraska. If interested in owning a historic piece. I mean, I can tell you, like, over 150 episodes of Live on 3 were produced in this show, 100 episodes of Epileptic Gaming. If you want to talk about buying it,
www.buy.
I mean, there's somebody out there that would settle for some
you know, pubic hair, but if they could live in your house, that'd be
an amazing. It's an amazing location, but I'm just letting you know.
Big basement too, a lot of open space. It's a good house.
I liked your shows from there. You had a cool setup. I'm sure it is.
You
cool
never
house.
Saw what it was. Very funny when I first walked in that room where he did his shows, because you felt like that room was very tiny. The room was fucking like massive. He had like so much fucking space on the opposite end or opposite side of the monitor that I was very surprised that it was not a tiny little like bedroom.
Dude, production's crazy. Like when I visited Dan and Nick in Korea, the GSL thing is like literally.
Oh yeah, it's like plywood. 3 feet, yeah.
Plywood, and it's just a fold up desk, and it looks nice on screen. NASL, I didn't want to tell you about our setup. That was garbage.
God, the magic of cinema.
The magic.
It's beautiful.
I still remember that story that Nick told. I think you've probably heard this one too, Jeff, where him and Artosis were just casting and they were on camera and the fucking side of the thing just starts to fall over. He has to grab the side of it and like keep it there so it doesn't look bad on camera.
That's amazing.
That was funny as shit. What
they've been, they have like some of the thickest skin because of the shit they've been through. They had to do a show where there's zero people in the audience, and like Nick and Dan were split up, so Nick would throw to Dan, and Dan was on that little stage. Remember that? You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Like, Dan, how you doing down there? He's like, oh, Nick, it's pretty great. And the camera angle was like the two of them looking at each other. They've been at the forefront of shitty production for a while. It's been pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Hopefully that turns out. I'm going to go see it on Thursday. I hope it's just a lot of dumb action. And everyone said Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg is just like fucking terrible.
They
just
said
he's like the worst Lex Luthor.
He overacted it because I like him, but he's way try hard. All his characters.
Well, they said that he basically goes like Zuckerberg on steroids. Like that's what he portrays. So.
It's not that he just has hair.
No. That didn't detract from the nerd.
No one made that complaint.
It's weird because
someone's made it.
He's such a zeitgeisty bad guy, right? Like in the 80s, he was like 80s corporate bad guy. And in the 90s, like he just becomes, so Zuckerberg is like kind of, even though it seems like really corny, Lex Luthor is that way.
Oh yeah, he's pretty much Zuckerberg, yeah.
Yeah.
He becomes the president at one point too in that universe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember that.
I like how in order to enjoy Superman movie too, you have to kind of forget about Smallville because all of a sudden Lex Luthor becomes the most
you've
ever seen in your life. He's like a teenage angsty rich kid, and it's like okay. And anyways, also kind of on a similar note, since we're talking movies, I am moderately excited about X-Men Apocalypse. I thought the last few X-Men movies have been phenomenal. They're really great. But one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life, and it's not what you expect. We all talked about Apocalypse. That looks weird. Hopefully they made it better.
You're going to say Psylocke?
No. What I'm going to say...
Jubilee.
No. Is they end that preview. Okay, so listen. Listen. Movie previews can sell like 1,000 ships. They can launch 1,000 ships. They can make a movie. You can get really excited about it. Closing scene usually is a pretty fucking big deal. In X-Men Apocalypse, it goes, wow, and it shows fucking Xavier bald and in a chair in a suit, and he looks he's got a side profile looking at the screen, and I'm like, who the fuck edited that? And is like, you know what, let's show him dressed to the nines in his goddamn chair. This will really get people fired up. Every time. It's so weird because they're like, some think he might have been the first mutant. They're like, oh, that's based off the Bible. And she's like, maybe he transcends the Bible. Like, really epic shit. And then the last thing, wow! I'm like, why? What is that editing? Like, who's like, someone like stands up in the theater's like, Xavier did it! The guy in the cartoon that I watched, he looks like the cartoon.
Exactly. You gotta end on the fan job, right? You gotta
Holy
be like,
Christ.
Is that thing you've seen? You like that?
Apocalypse growing to giant size, crushing him down in cool music, fucking Magneto's like, I'm using all my power! And then it's like, now?
Dude, Jubilee is way more like, she is fucking straight out of the 90s Fox cartoon.
Yeah,
like,
no, they based
that on one arc.
Yeah,
but for some reason that became like her staple look, and that's kind of, that absolutely fucking crazy. I mean,
goggles and yellow trench jacket.
Isn't Jubilee a character that was created for the TV show though?
Possibly.
Was she around before the show?
All I know about Jubilee is that I watched her in the show, and that when we would cast StarCraft matches, a lot of the casters we'd be like, all right, let's do X-Men. Who would you be? And then like we would all say like everyone would like make jokes, and 89. I was always Jubilee. They'd be like, yeah, JP's Jubilee. Like, why the fuck am I the shittiest goddamn hero, dude, in this entire universe?
Every time in that cartoon is so funny, like Wolverine, like shink, you know, like indestructible claws, and like this guy's got laser eyes. Jubilee's like firecrackers. You can't see it.
Here's the thing. I'm just randomly looking at her Wikipedia page. Apparently, she's a vampire now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so makes her better.
I guess they agreed she was pretty terrible too. So I don't know. Let's make her a vampire.
Well, there you go.
God, comics are fucked up.
Comics are real dumb.
The girl playing Rogue's a little interesting. Or no, she actually plays not Rogue. It's Jean Grey. That's kind of interesting.
Sansa, right?
Yeah, that's what
I guess because they couldn't get. Is it Femke Jensen? Who is the other?
Femke Jensen is Jean Grey in the other timeline.
So yeah, they retcon it.
Sansa is the early timeline version of
it. It's going to be interesting when they have to do that with the MCU, where like the actors are like, yeah, I don't want to do any more Marvel movies, and they have to go to another universe.
Yeah, right. We're separated by 30 years.
Wait, you want to say something?
No, I'm just going through the wiki. This like fucking like there's a
dude,
picture.
Dude, you can get lost. I've done it before.
Jubilee going like this. And
does she have a yellow fucking?
Yeah. And then there's a thing, but it's so funny because the Age of Apocalypse. I was just like, oh yeah, this will all be in the movie. In the Age of Apocalypse, Jubilee is a part of Gambit's Externals, a group of rebels.
I love the Age of Apocalypse.
She went with the Externals to the Shi'ar Empire in order to steal a piece of the Macron crystal. Obviously, that will all be a part of this Age of Apocalypse movie.
You think so? You think they'll show off Gambit?
Of course, no. No, I think they did say Gambit's in it. I was talking more about the Shi'ar Empire.
Gambit was in Wolverine.
Obviously, Cyclops is a space pirate dad, right? Yeah. And the Shi'ar and the M-Kron crystal, that whole thing. Fucking, it's going to be great. I'm excited.
I feel bad for he's always just been a gigantic piece of shit in the movies. Like, I wish he was so much better. Yeah. In the comics, he's cool. But in the movies, he's like, oh, Jean Grey died. I'm Cyclops. Yeah, then he dies. It's like, well, that's Cyclops.
I agree, JP. So Cyclops is Twitch chat.
I do like in the preview, even to your point, JP, they show him being like, some of us can't control our powers. And she's like, well, quit being a bitch. We're at war. It's like, that's Cyclops. He's the captain of the fucking X-Men. He's like supposed to be the leader. And he's like, my eyes hurt. Every scene, it's like,
Cyclops is the dude.
I wish Cyclops had that voice, Jeff.
he's the dude in the Dungeons and Dragons party where the whole party is like, yeah, we should totally fuck over the mayor and like not do this quest and like kill the villagers. And Cyclops is like, but actually, you guys, we said we were going to do the quest. So
Xavier doesn't want this from us. Shut up, Cyclops. Okay.
That's why in the new X-Men, when he goes bad, it's fucking awesome because he's a badass bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a cool Cyclops.
Yeah.
Anyways, how long we got? 11 minutes. Yes, Wheat.
Can I talk about my first world problem this week?
Let's do
Please.
It relates to Daredevil and also the fact that I've reached the third season of House of Cards.
Okay.
So my fucking television in my bedroom has just decided that it will randomly turn off. So
that's like a bad feature. 24
minutes into a show, and then it'll be like click, and then it will come back on for half a second, and then go click, and it will keep on resetting and resetting and resetting.
Is the alternative that Mini Wheat got a universal remote? Because I did that in middle school all the time.
If that is the case, Jeff,
the greatest child ever,
deem my kid as the fucking best prankster that has ever graced this earth. Because it's been a problem that's like plagued us for a while, and now it's just to the point where it's like, no, fuck you, man, you're not watching shit. Like click, click, and it's so crazy that like you unplug the TV, and you can hear it still clicking, like trying to say, anyway.
Oh, that's weird.
It probably would cost like $300, $400 to fix, which is a real downer because guess how much a new TV costs? Like
$500.
Depending on what you're looking. Anyway, so I need to order
a new sub.
It's I haven't been able to watch my fucking shows.
Oh, I finished Daredevil
yet.
I finished Daredevil on Sunday evening.
Is it cool? I know you were talking a lot about it.
They should have just made the first season of The Punisher.
Yeah.
And not Daredevil season 2.
Guess what?
Mm.
Punisher or Daredevil season 1 was basically Fisk fucking season 1.
That's my mother.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely agree. Like Daredevil, I'm not all the way through it yet, but Daredevil definitely seems like less. I was complaining about this on Twitter the other day. I'm so fucking sick of every superhero show. Daredevil is especially egregious about this. Having the sidekick be like, "Hey man, you should give up being a superhero." And the superhero's like, "No, I have powers." He's like, "Yeah, but I feel like you're gonna get hurt." And they're like, "No shit, I'm a superhero. I gotta go do stuff."
Oh, but that's God. The human I'm angle, tired of man.
That conversation. Frank Castle would just shoot a mother in the face. He'd just be like, shut up, fuck.
Well, that's why I like him so much is because he gives no fucks, man. He literally does not give a fuck. There are scenes in that show later on, especially, well, the first four particularly, but like later on in the show, there's like a diner scene and this guy is like, he's trying to get information after these guys came to like kill him. He fucking just beats there and just destroys these guys like in the bloodiest fight of all in this diner scene. And then he's trying to get information out of this guy. The guy's like, I'm not going to give you information. So then he takes his fucking back of his gun, like the butt of his gun, and busts his jaw up all up and down his fucking mouth. And they show the guy's face all super fucked up. There's blood everywhere. You see the like giant cuts on it. And he's like, all right, here's the information. And then he just shoots him in the head. And he says, let's go. It's fucking badass.
We like Punisher because Punisher does what people yell at comic books and TV shows all the time. Like, just fucking shoot the guy. Shut up about it.
Yeah. It's a murder hobo.
Move on.
Yeah.
We like him for reasons that I think make a lot of sense. But Adam, I really liked Daredevil, except you were so right. And they're in so many shows now.
Yeah.
Especially superheroes. It's so tropey. Even the girl, just like all the relationships. They're like reluctantly like, I'll mend you, but you know, I don't know. And then in the background, they're always like, kind of like, man, what a buff, swell guy. I love him with all my heart and will die for him. just come up with original content. And his partner is the slapstick, slightly overweight, like, heart, you know, like the guy that's got his heart on a sleeve. Like, he's like, man, I used to like you when it was just about doing the right thing. And then he like storms out of the room. And like, what he should be like is, quit being a bitch. Like, I'm saving the city. But instead, he's like, oh.
Okay.
Maybe right. You know, it's every character.
I'm going to come down here on the opposite side of the Foggy debate, which is I totally agree with everything you're saying with regards to like the comic book trope and the way Foggy plays into that. But what I like about Foggy is that he's kind of fat, kind of awkward dude who's a total ladies' man. I love it.
I think as a character, Foggy is cool and interesting. And how far into season 2 are you?
I am zero far into season 2.
Enjoy that feeling that season 1 gave you.
Good, I will.
Season 2 is like, oh yeah, you remember that? The reason why you like Foggy? We're gonna piss on its grave. Yeah. That's fine.
Foggy gets real annoying real quick.
Foggy's not nearly as good in season 2.
Look, I just wanted, when the moments when like Elektra and all these other shitty characters were on the screen, I was just like, when is Punisher gonna fucking just blow someone's head off in the next 5 seconds, or I'm gonna skip ahead to the next fucking episode and see if it happens then.
You just want Punisher to Kool-Aid Man into every scene with a rocket launcher.
He does, and it's awesome because like in a couple of scenes he'll just having a conversation and then a guy's head just explodes for no reason. They're like, we're under attack, and everyone runs and hides, and the Punisher's just shitting on people.
It's awesome. People having a conversation and Punisher just through the wall. Oh yeah, machine guns.
It happens all the time. It's great. It's real. I just want more Punisher scenes. But yeah, it's still pretty good. They're setting up for the Defenders quite well, I guess is the best way to like preview that.
As long as Rosario Dawson is in every single Netflix original Marvel series, I will be happy.
That's the common thread. Yeah.
Put her in all of them.
The Defenders.
She is awesome.
Yeah.
I saw, this is a little while ago, but I saw Zootopia. I'm not the biggest cartoon children's movie kind of guy, but that's actually a really good movie. It's actually really funny, really enjoyable, really good animation. You
said that too, dude.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Was that Zootopia?
Zootopia, yeah.
Wife loved it.
Oh.
Check it out, man. But
Pocket was saying that was
good. The flip side of that, do not, and probably most of you did not need this advice, but do not go and see Divergent or whatever the goddamn name of that movie was.
Allegiant?
Allegiant. The first two are like okay for what they are. Obviously, like, you know.
I don't know what that is.
Kind of towards the female inclination, a little bit Twilight-y action, heartthrob movie. So it was like, but it had enough okay. In this movie, I go in with an open mind. You know, Anna wants to see, and this is kind of her junk food movie, so it's fine. We're going to go. And it was like, okay, until there's a scene where a guy drives a dune buggy over them in pursuit of them, and it cuts into slow motion, and he looks out of the dune buggy and at the group and, like, gestures at them, and it's like, I'm going to get you. And they look at him smiling because they thought he was a friend, and then they frown because it's a bad guy. I knew. I knew at that moment in time. The next 2 hours of my life were forfeit, and, like, I can go eat 5 chili dogs because there's just, like, what's another 4 hours off Jeff, my life, you know?
Jeff, are you telling me that when I saw the trailer for this movie and it said the best Divergent movie out of all three, that they were lying?
They misled you, Wheat.
What?
Damn. They misled you.
Are you fucking shitting me?
It's real. It's real.
Random side question. Did anyone ever see The Good Dinosaur?
No. I got it. I haven't watched it yet because
I heard it was really bad.
Television keeps turning off. Fucking, I'm ordering.
I heard it wasn't great.
Yeah.
Adam Apicella liked it, which doesn't mean anything. Keep that in
mind. That's true. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about Adam's recommendations. I don't know if he's good about it. I saw the trailer and it was like this really weird, like un-Pixar-ish trailer where they have like this weird pop song playing. They follow the dinosaur around. There's like this little kid. I was like, well, the dinosaur definitely dies in that. There's no way he doesn't.
Or the kid, man. I don't know. I mean, one of them.
Yeah. And I was just like, we're going to skip this.
Which one is the dog? The dinosaur or the kid?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Exactly. So then what was that movie I ended up watching besides that? It was The Night Before. Yeah, The Night Before with the Jewish Seth Rogen. He was in there.
I think Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Who's the Jewish Seth Rogen? Because I was pretty sure Seth Rogen.
No. Like his entire shtick throughout the whole movie is like, oh, I'm a Jew and I'm doing a bunch of drugs and now I'm in a fucking... I'm in a Christian church, and everyone's looking at me, and Jesus is looking at me and saying, "Why'd you kill me?" And
it's that like the Christmas one where he's going to get married.
Yes, and his wife gives him a bunch of drugs, and then they go and
I love the script Seth Rogen must get at his desk. He's like, "Wow, another one about me being a big floppy fat guy who's a Jew, do a bunch of drugs, end up naked a couple times in the movie." He's like,
it must be a weird thing to be typecast as the person you actually are
as yourself.
Yeah.
It wasn't the worst. It wasn't an amazing movie, but it was pretty bad.
I'm gonna go see the sorority one or whatever, which is exactly that again.
No, I'm gonna see that too. Yeah, it looks great.
That scene where he's mumbling like, "Stop! You're making them only sexier."
Yeah.
So funny.
Him and James Franco have a, Jeff, if you want to get your gay fix, you can go watch The Night Before, because him and James Franco have a romantic fling at the end of it, kind of.
So that's great. They did a music video together where they're on a motorcycle naked. Awesome.
Yeah. Right. So there you
Excellent.
Go. Anything else? Anyone watch anything else?
I saw. Has anybody else seen Hail Caesar? Anybody go see that?
Yes.
No, I haven't seen it.
I finally saw it.
I loved it.
Yeah,
really.
Is it really good?
It's Coen Brothers.
I was gonna say, it seems to me like
the most
Coen Brothers movie, like ever. Like it's if you don't like the Coen Brothers or you've never seen any of their other movies, you'd be like, this is bad. What is this? I don't really understand going on. But if you've seen like The Big Lebowski and like some of the other movies, it feels very much like it's an homage to themselves, which is kind of
If Oh Brother Where Art Thou is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yes, you should go see it.
All right.
I might have to
George Clooney is like, he just kind of, his character makes fun of himself basically the entire time.
Yeah, his character is really good. Yeah. I was surprised by some of it. I really liked it. I felt like they were very, very self-referential, which is nice because they've made enough movies now that they can kind of be like, okay, like we get it. They're doing that thing that the guy that did the Royal Tenenbaum still doesn't seem capable of doing yet. Paul W. Anderson.
Yeah.
Like he can't, he's still like, no, I'm making these movies. Take them seriously.
Right.
But these guys are like, we know what we do. We're just, it's cool.
Yeah.
The Channing Tatum music scene is
one of
the funniest things I've seen in a long
no
time.
Dance.
It's a song about sailors complaining about no dames, and it like starts off kind of ambiguously gay, and you're like, oh, they're sailors, like, it's fine. And at the end of it, they're just like 69ing, standing up, and just like driving each other in the music, and you're like, and it just happens so quick, and then the guy's like, hey, knock it off, all of you. Describing a Coen Brothers joke is like describing a Far Side joke.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I need to watch that. I need to watch that for sure. Joke.
Seriously, it was hilarious.
Yeah, no, he was so had that friend, it's like, two it's flies, right? They're like, okay, go ahead. Yeah, but the look on their faces is blank. They're like really, you know, upset about it.
I need to watch that.
We haven't talked about The Witch either. That was a great movie, by the way.
Oh, you went and saw it finally?
I did. Saw it by myself because none of my friends are into horror movies.
So after seeing it, would you say you're pro-Satan?
I would just say, actually, a couple people walked out of the theater, not because they were like so scared or anything like that. It's because they were disappointed, upset, because I think they expected a modern horror movie where they're going to jump and there's going to be monsters and really scared.
Yeah.
It's entirely in Old English, which is just incredible and awesome. And like, it does, that's why I tweeted after immediately. I was like, the first third of this movie, I'm like, Anna would love this. This is one of the best period pieces I think I've seen in a long time.
Yep.
Like, they just really immerse you in this fucking horrible living conditions and just what life was like back then. The actors and actresses seem really authentic. It's awesome. Some of the best child acting I've ever seen.
Yes! God, those kids.
Oh, they're incredible. Well, yeah. And then the second, third, and the final third of the movie is like, Anna should never watch this ever. She would
die. Oh, really? Like,
oh, my God.
What about...
Oh, like, that's awesome. I can't...
What about the scene 3 minutes into the movie? You know, with the mortar and pestle? Like, what about that? She would have been fine with that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was one of the most distressing scenes for me. I was like, what the
fuck? I don't want to give that. I mean, it's funny because it's a spoiler 3 minutes in, but that scene, I liked that they just went right to it. They weren't like,
yes.
What happened? They're like, no, this is it.
That's what happens next.
Yeah.
God.
The only part that really like kind of fucked with me was the scene with the bird.
That's yes.
The part where I was just like,
I was sitting in the theater and I went, oh wow, like out loud when that happened.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew it was West March is the movie.
Yeah.
There's a couple scenes. That's what I love about horror movies. Like, I obviously it's a movie, you're never in any peril, but I'm the guy sitting there who's just like, no, no, don't do that. And then they're like, oh God. Okay. Yep. Can't give anything away. But if you are like, if anyone's remotely interested in horror movies, this is really, and it's actually too bad that it's a horror movie because it's going to be exceptionally underappreciated by everyone. Like, you don't make a horror movie that you'll never ever hear like, and now for Best Picture, The Witch.
Yeah, right.
Ever.
It's true,
and it's not the Best Picture, but it's one of the best made movies this year so far for sure. Absolutely, and it's just awesome.
Yeah,
I'll probably never see it, or I'll just watch the scary parts and be like, all right, that was that movie. And then we'll be good.
Yeah, they're fucked up, man.
Well, there you go. Well, cool. Let's can't transition out of that easily. So let's just play some Swan Song.
How about that segue? So,
wait.
Yeah.
What?
Cool. Okay.
I'm almost done. I was just finishing ordering the television.
Oh, I was gonna say, are you masturbating while we're playing again?
I've never ordered a TV
on the internet.
Yeah.
Did you get it from Amazon?
I am getting it from fucking daddy Amazon. Why?
Why would he not get it from Amazon?
You get a lot of cracked TVs. Not because of Amazon, but because of people just bad handling.
So, not because of
Amazon. We love Amazon.
They come. Amazon. We love them. They are great. I don't know what happened there. They come to your house. They unpackage it, plug it in, make sure it works. Oh. And then they will take away the packaging if you want.
Oh, did you get the frustration-free thing or whatever?
No, they just do that.
Oh.
I don't know. Like, you know, we get like fucking 1 hour delivery.
Did you get like a 60-inch TV? Is that why that they're doing that? Because it's so heavy?
It's 55 inches.
Maybe they have like a size that they only do that on. Because I think like 40 inches and below, they'll ship you the TV.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, like I had to schedule the delivery.
It wouldn't be a Swan Song pre-show if somebody didn't buy something on Amazon. Well,
right.
That's
right.
True. We do buy a lot of things here. Yeah.
My guys just made the highlight of the Stun Lancer.
hitting the floor and falling to his death.
Nice. You have to tweet that out. Tweet it out. All right, Adam, the swan song.
So, yeah, swan song. So after the after the opening sequence, after the spaceship and the swishing, we see from a distance like a vast kind of rocky, like badlands, like Arizona desert kind of scene. Maybe there's like some carrion type birds like flying around, but mostly it's just like a vast open space.
Is there StarCraft style country music playing?
It would probably be some like vaguely Middle Eastern sounding music. Maybe like a tabla in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And
tabla? You mean like a toddler? What?
Tabla.
Tableau.
It's a tabla. T-A-B-L-A. It's an instrument. It's a musical instrument. Look at it.
Yeah.
As we move in on the shot, we see some kind of dome shaped sandstone buildings, and we can see some vehicles parked around them, and a sort of hover like copter vehicle comes flying in kind of with the camera, and it lands beside these buildings, and a group of people get out, maybe like four or five people, and they're wearing like desert gear. So they're wearing like light kind of tan clothes. They've got their faces covered, and they have sand like goggles. And they approach the building and go inside. And inside, it's like obvious, like all the signs of like drug lab. Like it's got tubing hanging, dripping into like large condenser materials. There's people with masks like assembling inhalers. And we follow these guys in, and they go into like an office, into a small enclosed area. And there's a guy wearing like dark kind of military fatigues, talking on a satellite phone. He's yelling something into the sat phone, and he like looks at it and hits the button and puts it down. And when he turns, we can see that it's Vito Marsh. We recognize him from the last episode. His like student ID. He's in his like mid-30s, looks a lot more haggard than we saw him last, weathered. And he turns as the group comes in, and one of them, a woman, she takes her goggles off and pulls her mask aside, and we can see her hair. Her hair is all like tied up on her head. And she thrusts a data pad into his hands and says to him, she's like, Marsh, you need to see this. And he shouts something at her about not being interrupted. And he's like, this is a very important time. Like we're about to finish the harvest. And she's like, you need to look. And he looks at the data pad, and we can see a news broadcast playing. It's like an Axemander University news. And it's the outside of a big apartment building with one of the windows blown out. And there's like fire and smoke pouring out of the window. It's kind of like a shaky cam shot. And it snaps over to a shot as it's like narrating. It snaps over to a shot of I think probably Higgs in a security camera walking down the elevator, and he's got some like blood splatter in his face, and it freeze frames on Higgs's like blood splattered face. And then we see Vito Marsh look at it, and he's like sneering. And he says to the woman, he's like, it doesn't matter. Her goons are too late. We're almost finished. And she looks at him, and we get this impression that she doesn't totally believe him. And she shakes her head, and she's like, she says, I don't care as long as we have the money on time. And he's like, get away from me. You'll have your money. I have to work. And he like shoos her away. And as he turns, we get a shot of him. No one else can see his face, but the camera can. We see a look on his face where he's like, kind of like, oh, fuck, shit. Like, he's looking quite upset or nervous. And then it fades out, and we fade in on the crew of the Swan Song. Where are you? Where did you go after the explosion at the building?
I think Eric, where those people are.
Yeah, Eric wanted to find the closest, like, desert place and just, like, hang out for a bit.
Is that what you were thinking, too? That's weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, a little sun and sand would be really good now.
I'm actually riding a one-eyed wolf, Adam, if you could go ahead and tell me.
Okay. Cool. Sure. All right. So Alpharius is riding his one-eyed cyber wolf across the desert, dragging a sand sled behind him, and the three of you are riding the sand sled.
Yep. Okay.
Eric is eating grapes, fed into his mouth. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Good.
I guess we would just like, I mean, we thought that we kind of, well, what I got like a canister of drugs from the apartment, but that was it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Can we like scrape data off of that or like a fingerprint or something and like verify that this was Vito Marsh's apartment or something?
I mean, maybe, I don't know.
What kind of skills would that need?
Well, you need equipment, right? To examine it. You'd need a, I don't know, whatever the technobabble version of like a CSI device. If you're looking for like fingerprints, I'm sure there's some kind of sci-fi thing you could put it in to scan it, but I don't think we have that equipment.
I have a survey scanner.
Yeah. Survey scanners for landscapes and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Doesn't
you like to survey the landscape anyway? You know,
I have Insta panels.
Good, I'm glad. I'm really happy for you. What I'm hearing is that you don't have the equipment you need.
Probably not.
No. Okay, all right. So where would you go? Are you back at the ship? Are you like in a fast food restaurant? Are you like where are the characters when we see?
Let's be eating shawarma.
Higgs, where do you take us after that moment in time?
I think we're just going back to the ship.
After okay.
That. I don't think right. There was
anything. So you're on the ship. You're in the like mess hall. Eric, your piece of evidence, your slightly damaged inhaler is on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Piani, how are you? How are you looking? You had a weird encounter at the end of the last session.
Right. And I'm actually on the ship, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, you're all there together. You basically like blew off that person who was like, Kia, right. Dummy, forget your textbook.
Right. I guess that would be one of the things I would look at is I would like check out the textbook and try to figure out what the hell that was all about.
Yeah. 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 It's a textbook on Shindalian mating rituals.
Is there any identifying, you know, the first couple pages, is there anything in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a physical textbook. It's like a ebook or whatever. Oh. But I mean,
I hack the shit out of it.
It's got metadata. It
belongs to, yeah.
Sure.
This was like Kovacs' seminal work, right?
I think it was an earlier, it was an earlier work.
All right.
You know, Kovacs, as interested in seminal natures as Kovacs was, he was more about the oral history of the Shindalians.
Did you guys see the death stare game that I tweeted you about? Did you happen to see this? Did you,
no. Steve
and Jeff? I tweeted because at PAX or at South by Southwest, there was a game called Death Stare, and literally,
oh yes, no, yeah, of course,
was to run up the stairs, and another player tried to kill you.
I saw that. Yeah.
I couldn't stop laughing. I'm sorry. It was awesome. I thought of you guys. Sorry, I didn't mean. What can I find out from the metadata?
Yeah, I mean, it's can there's some pretty significant. Now, I think you have the base information you need from this. You know, it's an ebook sold to a student by an university, so it's like a huge fuck you to the person who bought it. It's registered to a Kia Tyree. She's a student at the university. It was purchased for this semester. You can see like when it was bought and at what store. Like it was bought through the university's system.
This is going to sound like a silly question, but it'll give us an idea of how used it is. How many penises were drawn inside of this textbook?
I mean, it's an ebook, so there's not a lot of penises drawn on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can draw things on the ebook, though.
You need to make a biology check, I think, to recognize the Shindalian penis. So, I say, there's some strange objects in the book, but.
Okay. All right. I could probably go to, let's see, we were at that building, and I was able to at least look someone up in terms of where they were in that building. So maybe I would like try to go to admissions and see if I couldn't find out where this person lived.
And you're going to go there by yourself?
Am I with everyone else?
Yeah, I mean, you were all together. You're getting into the car to head wherever, I assume, the ship. And it sounds like everybody else was going to the ship. So did you go there first? Or do you want to go, like, see you later, guys? I'm going to get out here.
Man, this is a good question. I need to think about this for a second. I mean, I guess I would leave, and if I saw anyone and they asked me why I was leaving, I would tell them. But we're not in any urgent situation right now, right?
I mean,
not that we know of, right?
So you did just commit like an act of near terrorism. So
I suppose so.
Near though, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it terrorism. We don't know if it was ideologically inspired.
All right, then let me ask this. Would it be weird if I walked around with a VI?
No, that'd be pretty normal. Like virtual intelligence.
Then I'm gonna ask.
Students have VI like assistants. Yeah, that's a normal thing.
I'm gonna take Pi.
Okay.
Well, I take that back. I'm gonna ask Pi if he would like to escort me.
Okay, so you're like in your room. Talking to Pi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pi's just like adjusting. They've got like one of their arms off and they're like adjusting some servo on it when you come in. And they're like, they look up when you come in. I'm just kind of Pi, like acknowledge your presence.
I want you to run an errand with me.
And they turn their face to you. An errand? What kind?
Well, I need to go find out more about the person who owns this ebook here. And considering the situation, I just want to make sure I go with someone that, you know, I know has my back.
Do you think that the ebook situation is likely to get violent?
I doubt it, but I'm not sure about the journey to where we need to go. Not really concerned about what we're going to do, but just, you know, just in case.
I understand. If you need to be defended, you should take one of the warbots. I won't be able to be fully present, but I could take care of you in that regard, at least.
Can you talk to me through the warbot?
I can. It's somewhat limited, though. I think I've reached the extent of their systems. They're not very complicated machines.
Wait, is the warbot literally a guy with a fucking gun, like a cannon on his arm?
They look like they're designed for fighting. Yeah. They look like Bastion.
That would be weird.
That might be weird. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I mean, Pi, now that I think of it, I don't think I should be walking around with a robe with a one of your robots with a fucking cannon on it. How about you go with me and we'll play it safe?
That sounds good. And they like reattach their arm and kind of like check the motor on it.
All right, we'll leave in 15 minutes. Meet me in the bay.
Started a timer. I'll see you there.
Okay. I arrive like 9 minutes later and I'm just fucking pacing for
and so meanwhile Eric, you're in the other room in the mess hall.
I mean Eric doesn't have a whole lot going on other than just trying to he did want to eventually like go to the university and see about researching some psychic things.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if now feels like the right time since we're on someone's tail.
Mm-hmm. And things are kind of heated.
Well, like
on campus right now.
Does the university have like forensics labs?
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest university in the sector, and they teach, there is like a crime like division for planetary forces. So if you like want to become a better crime fighter on your home world, if you're looking to enter like law enforcement, you can come to an Anaximander, take a course or whatever, and then return home and join your local police force.
So. Yeah. Where's Alpharius?
kind of whatever in that, in the mess hall or whatever as well. I mean, we're just, you know, post-op type of thing, just making sure
security. Yeah. And like Higgs hasn't asked us to go do anything specific right now, right? We're just kind of in downtime waiting for, okay. Yeah. I think, Eric would probably turn to Alpharius and say, Alpharius, would you like to go see if we can use the forensics labs at the university to analyze this blue fever?
I believe that would be, yes, I will go as your security detail for sure.
Wonderful. Let's go. I think I go, like, you know, get my backpack with all of my stuff in it and, you know, probably put a couple books in it so that I look more like a student. Yeah, and then we head off. I guess we're heading for, like, the main science building or the science campus or whatever it is.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so, Higgs, your crew has abandoned you on the ship. What are you doing?
I guess I, like, do y'all tell me that you're leaving or do you just leave?
Yeah, I think I would say Eric wants to go, you know.
Yep, totally.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just, like, very casually just like, yeah, whatever, works. And then when everyone gets off, I just put music on really loud and dance around in my underwear.
Hey, the post-murder dance party, of course.
Yeah, we have to appease the post-murder or the murder gods.
Yeah, it's an Aeson tradition.
Yep.
Okay, cool. All right. So let's see where Piani ends up. So you meet with Pi in the cargo hold. And you're heading to where are you going?
So I mean, I guess I'm just gonna go to like admissions. And I suppose that my plan is that I will try to find out if perhaps I can find out where this individual lives so I can return the book to them.
Hmm. Okay. Sure. All right. So, I think we can cut to that. You're in the admissions hall, same place you were before. And I think that maybe you're walking up to it and you notice like the distinct presence, cause we've seen this place before and it's different now. There's like a line or a crowd kind of at the entrance, and there are, I'd say like a half dozen campus security officers standing around like wanding like people. And so it's caused this like this big like backup of students. And so you come up to the line and you hear two of the students like having a conversation. And one of them is like, they're like, I can't believe this. I've only got an hour, and they keep looking at their watch. Like, I've only got an hour before I have to pay my rent. And if I don't pay it now, it's going to be late and I have to put fees on it. And then the other person is like, this is why I was telling you to pay yesterday. Why is there even a lineup? And so you like walk up, and I think in just like out of camaraderie, like one of them looks at you and they're like, we've been here for 15 minutes. This is crazy. They're probably going to close before we get in. You should probably just go.
They say that to me?
Yeah.
So, I guess I actually just turn around and go.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I decide that this is not where I'm going to get my information. I go back to, I go back to Judy. Judy? Judy?
Who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of Professor's wife.
Yeah. What was her name?
What the fuck was her name?
Nobody remembers.
Nope.
GM chat always knows.
Yeah. Chat remembers.
What was her name? I feel horrible.
It's actually better that we don't remember. Like, I remember her. I know exactly.
Lisa. Okay. Close. Yeah,
hot Judy, prof. Lisa. Hot prof's wife.
Lisa.
Hot Lisa. Yep.
We're going to go visit Lisa.
Okay. So as you're walking away, Piani is like, who's Lisa?
Pi. Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Pi says it.
Do you Pi? Lisa's someone we met when we were looking for someone else. I think she has what we need. We should just go there.
Oh, all right. Does the book belong to her?
It doesn't belong to her, but we might be able to use their systems to find out where it come from. And I need you to do me a favor, Pi. It's going to be a weird request, but I feel as if it's necessary.
All right. What is it?
I'm going to tell her that you are a hyperboat repair robot.
Pi gives you like a confused smiley on their display. But I don't know the first thing about hyperboats.
Well, can't you fake it?
Probably.
I mean, you've got tons of technical jargon in your head. Certainly you could put some things together that no one would know the wiser.
I understand. This is the kind of person we can lie to. Am I to use your name, or do you have an alias you'd prefer?
I'm just Piani. Pi, it's just that she really loves hyperboats. I think that she'll be more excited if I just, you know, tell her that you're a hyperboat robot mechanic.
I understand. You know who really likes hyperboats? Eric. Eric likes hyperboats.
He does. Perhaps you can calm him on the way over there and learn everything you could possibly learn about hyperboats.
I could do that, but I don't think I want to talk to Eric right now.
Why not?
No reason.
What do you mean, no reason? You just can't say that you don't want to talk to Eric.
I don't think I want to talk about it. And they give you like kind of the like sideways mouth smiley.
You don't want it. You always want to talk about it, it seems. Well, all right. How about we go visit Lisa and maybe we talk about it later?
All right. That sounds fine.
You're not just saying that to detract me for now. We're going to talk about it. You said, all right, that'll be fine.
Yes, that's fine. We can talk about it later.
Okay. All right, let's go.
Okay. All right, so the two of you get into a car and head off for Lisa's apartment, the scene of the crime, no less. And yeah, maybe we go to our commercial break there.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, let's take our first break. We'll come back and go into hour two here of Roleplay Swan Song. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you guys in just a bit.